are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, the number one daily sports podcast network. I'm your host, Brian Peacock. We're going to break down the combine, big happenings in Indianapolis this past weekend and going on into today. So we're going to wait until Tuesday's show to break down the defensive side of the ball. Today's show is going to be about what happened with the offensive players from the combine and what also happens when all these teams and GMs and scouts and everybody gets together with all the media. Rumors start flying. And so we've got some very interesting happenings and word out of Indy, especially about the number one overall pick, which obviously has a lot to do with what the 49ers are going to do at number two overall. So we will get into all of that stuff on today's program. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can find this program and all the shows on the network just about anywhere. If you're in your car, just tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On 49ers. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Get those mailbag questions coming. We're going to dip into the mailbag Wednesday with Nick and maybe try to make sense of everything at the end of the week and wrap it all up after these combine review programs to start the week. You can email the show lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, hit me up with that email, lockedon49ers@gmail. Oh, and one other bit of 49ers news I guess we should lead with is 49ers, according to Adam Schefter, starting right guard Mike Person has reached an agreement on a three-year, $9 million deal that includes $3 million guaranteed. And Person, who was scheduled to be a free agent, they have locked him up now. So the 49ers starting offensive line remains intact. They started almost every single game last year together. I think they started 15 of 16 games. Those five offensive linemen, Staley, Tomlinson, Richburg, Person, McGlinchey, they're going to be intact again. So some continuity there for the 49ers offensive line going into 2019. Very good. And Person's not going to be making so much money that he can't have a little competition if the 49ers end up drafting someone, you know, maybe on day two of the draft. You know, they can do a lot of things there with depth, but their starting five right now is intact going into the season. Great move, I think. Well, if we're talking offense today, I guess we've got to start with quarterback, and we've got to start with the talk of the combine right now, which is Kyler Murray, who did something very important, and all that was show up, get measured, and be taller than 5'10". And, you know, his hands were 9.5 inches, which is solid, so he passed those tests, and I think he owes a percentage of his paycheck to Russell Wilson, because I think that new height restriction level is 5'10". And does it really matter if he's 5'10 and an eighth or if he was 5'9 and 7/8"? I think it does in the hearts of many GMs and someone who's about to potentially spend the number one overall pick in the draft, maybe even pay a boatload of picks to get up to number one just to take Kyler Murray number one overall in the draft. I was very skeptical that he would go first as far as quarterbacks and that he would go that high in the draft. It's just it doesn't happen. Teams don't, even at 5'10 and an eighth, teams don't draft short quarterbacks. And I can't think of a quarterback that was shorter than 6 feet tall that went in the first round. Michael Vick, he was right at 6 feet. Even Drew Brees got pushed out of the first round as good as he was out of Purdue. Last year, I think teams are starting to come around. You saw what the former Oklahoma quarterback in Baker Mayfield, what he did as a rookie, and he's coming in just over 6 feet tall. So maybe teams are rethinking that. And maybe this is all giant smokescreen. I don't know. But word out of Indianapolis is that Kyler Murray has a very good shot and should maybe be the favorite to go number one overall in the draft and maybe even be the favorite to be drafted not only number one, but by the team that holds the pick right now, which is the Arizona Cardinals, who just traded up last year to take a top 10 quarterback in Josh Rosen, which is another thing I thought was just complete BS and would never happen. That's the word. I don't know if it's Schadenfreude. I don't know if the Arizona Cardinals are just trying to create some value and create some more interest in teams that might want to trade up for a quarterback and let teams know that they have to come up to number one and deal with them. They can't just wait for them to make a pick and then trade up a little bit later. They got to deal with you at number one. That's still what I think. But man, it's sounding more and more like, and more people are reporting that Kyler Murray is going to go number one overall. So quite a turn of events for Kyler Murray. I wasn't even convinced about the whole baseball thing. I thought GMs were completely turned off of him as late as the Super Bowl when he had interviews and didn't have an answer when people were asking him whether he was going to play baseball, whether he was going to play football. I thought, well, that's it. He's already, you know, too small. Old school GMs definitely aren't going to like that. They're not going to want to draft him. And now on top of it, he can't decide whether he wants baseball or football. GMs are definitely going to hate that. But he's pulled a 180. He pulled out of that tailspin. He put out a statement, or his agent or publicist, whoever, put out a statement that said he was fully committed going to the combine and he was going to play football and his dream, and he wants to play quarterback in the NFL, and that's it. I think the biggest thing is he gave his money back. He gave his signing bonus back to the Oakland A's. That's when you start to say, okay, it's for real then. You start giving money back. That's how you know he was serious about playing football. Now he shows up at the combine and puts to rest some of the thoughts about how big, still very small, but he puts to rest some of the thoughts about being, 5'8 and 3/4 and 195 pounds. No, he shows up 5'10 and 1/8, 207 pounds. So he checks off that height being over 5'10, which I think was a mark that was really going to help him out. And as everybody knew, he wasn't going to be like 6 feet tall or anything like that. And he was well over 200 pounds, which is nice because teams can believe that he's going to be able to take a little bit of a pounding, especially if he's going to be a quarterback that likes to run a little bit or a lot. And again, it's not huge, but 207 is a lot better than 195. So, and I know people get mad about the hands thing, but 9.5-inch hands, he passed that benchmark as well. So teams can rest easy. He's not going to just fumble the ball all over the place. He can grip an NFL football just fine. It's one of the big things with Russell Wilson. People are like, oh, he's 5'10", but he's really bulky and big and strong, and he's got these big old hands, so it helps him play up a little bit. So anyway, Dwayne Haskins did all he needed to do to, cement himself as a first-round quarterback. Drew Lock threw the ball okay. I still am not buying him being a top-10 pick, as some people are trying to put him, but he might get artificially pushed up and end up being in the first-round conversation as well. But really, it's Dwayne Haskins and it's Kyler Murray, and it's sort of a pick your choice. You want the pocket passer and the bigger bodied guy, 230-pound, almost 6'4 quarterback, prototype in Dwayne Haskins, or do you want the fast, dynamic, throws a beautiful ball, Kyler Murray? And it's sounding like a lot more teams, at least the Arizona Cardinals, if that's for real, might like the Kyler Murray thing. And I would be still blown away, but how can you? God, if you are a GM, how do you look your owner in the eye and be like, hey, man, I know we just drafted a quarterback, top 10 overall. He's supposed to be the face of the franchise. We're trying to sell our fans on that. We even traded up to get him number 10 overall. But actually, now we're going to trade him for like a second round pick and then go draft a different guy, number one overall. That's a hard sell. Like, that's a fireable offense, especially if the second quarterback doesn't pan out. But it'll be interesting to see in the Washington Redskins. As of now, is let's go to the report. This was tweeted out by the South Florida Sun Sentinel columnist and NFL beat writer Omar Kelly. He said, Kyler Murray will be the number one overall pick, and Josh Rosen will likely be traded before free agency starts. The streets is talking, and Washington is the likely landing spot for Rosen. So that's kind of crazy, which would obviously put the 49ers in the driver's seat there to get the guy that I think everyone thinks is the number one player on their board in Nick Bosa at number two overall, or potentially get a haul of draft picks for the team that might want to move up at that point and then get the next quarterback that's left of those solid first round graded guys, according to most reports, as far as the way teams look at these players, in Dwayne Haskins at number two overall. Which would be a scenario very reminiscent to the 2016 draft when nobody was sure about who the best quarterback was, and 49ers fans were even arguing about if Jared Goff was even worth the number 7 overall pick, and then all of a sudden teams ended up trading up to number 1 and number 2, taking Goff and Wentz. 49ers got a nice player in DeForest Buckner there at number 7, so that all worked out great for them. And then Tim Kawakami dropped an article at The Athletic saying that he's hearing the same things about Kyler Murray's going number one overall, and that means for the 49ers, they're going to have a decision to make. And that decision is Bosa or Beckham. And that there's a very real chance that the New York Giants would want to trade up to number two, and that they would be willing to dangle Odell Beckham in that sort of trade. Now, when you say Bosa or Beckham, if it was just straight up for the number two overall pick, I would take Nick Bosa, the pass rusher, on a rookie contract over trading for Odell Beckham. If it was just straight up for that one draft pick, number two overall. But Kawakami says it would probably involve with the 49ers moving down to pick number 6. Wouldn't be a straight swap there of using Beckham to move up to number 2 from number 6. The 49ers would then have to maybe give a second round pick or something like that. And I don't know where Kawakami is getting this stuff. He might be pulling some of this out of his nether regions about what it would actually look like in the end for that trade. But that's an interesting idea. Would you say no to moving down off of Bosa, period? Would you swap picks with the New York Giants, the 49ers getting Odell Beckham, the sixth pick in the draft, Giants get the second pick in the draft, and maybe the 49ers second rounder at number 36 overall? I don't know. That's interesting. Hit me up on Twitter, at BD Peacock. Let me know how you feel about that idea that Tim Kawakami runs out there. All right, we've talked about all of two players on offense at the Combine. So the next couple of segments, we're going to talk the Freak Show from Saturday and more offensive players from the Scouting Combine after this. DeKalen Metcalf, also known as DK Metcalf, just brought the house down when he ran his 40 time after weighing in at just a hair under 6'4", 228 pounds, chiseled. Rumors that he has 1.6% body fat, which I don't think is actually possible to be a real thing. I think you need more body fat than that to even be alive and be a human being. So I'm not sure I'm not buying that one. But dude rolls up, throws down a 4.33 40 time, and people were freaking out. I was freaking out. You knew he was going to be fast. And I talked on the podcast about, you know, people were talking about, hey, maybe DK goes crazy. And he was rumored to maybe be sub 4.4 or 4.4 flat. He's like, hey, maybe number two overall pick. And I was like, no, the tape, he shows some stiffness. I don't know if he's going to break that tier for me where I have the top tier and it only exists. It only consists of two guys right now in Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams. And I didn't see him getting there. He's a first round guy. He's, you know, wide receiver one. I'm on board with all that. Top 15, top 10 pick maybe going in. But you see that. See him run, you think, oh man, maybe, you know, you dare to dream a little bit. And we're talking Megatron. We're talking Calvin Johnson type height, weight, speed numbers. Julio, better than Julio Jones as far as height, weight, and pure speed. 27 bench press reps, 40 and a half inch vertical, 134 inch broad jump. So everything explosive in a straight line was just mind blowing. And he's got pure hands and he can go get the ball. He can run away from guys. But that stiffness I talked about, and you can go back and hear my whole scouting report on DK Metcalf a couple weeks ago when I did started those profiles. I think he was the first episode, he and Nick Bosa. And then he ran the agility drills, the stuff that measures change direction and lateral agility. And if you look at the spider graph that's been floating around of DK Metcalf, it's completely full on height, weight, speed, bench press, vertical, 40-yard dash, broad jump, 99th percentile, right? He's more explosive, bigger, stronger, faster than 99% of players in the NFL, wide receivers that have come out of the combine in recent history. Freaky stuff. And then he runs the three cone, 7.38 seconds. And if you don't know the three cone, that's really bad. It was one of the worst three cone drills at the combine. And 4.5 second 20-yard shuttle, which is also really bad. One of the three or four worst at the combine, or two or three worst maybe at the combine. So when you look at that spider chart that was completely full, all of a sudden now, instead of being, you know, 95, 97, 99 percentile in all of these other drills, now it's the opposite. 95, 97, 99% of the NFL of wide receivers that have come through the combine were better at changing direction in the three cone drill and the 20 yard shuttle. And so it's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And the three cone, I know, is a drill that Kyle Shanahan likes, and he likes his wide receivers that can change direction and they can separate in a short area. And DK Metcalf is just, and everything I saw on tape was that big, strong, fast in a straight line, but has some stiffness, changing directions, getting in and out of his routes sometimes, and running maybe some, and not really great after the catch unless he's running away from people in a straight line because he's not shifty. And he was that, but times 10. Like he was the most extreme version of what I saw on tape. I didn't even think he would be that extreme. I thought because he was so athletic, he'd just have maybe some average agilities and it would be not a big deal. But I think the agility drills were so bad that it almost negates how freakishly athletic he was in a straight line and how explosive he is. So I don't know what to think now with DK Metcalf. I was on board as having him as the top of my second tier, halfway through Saturday. And then when I saw those numbers, it had me second guessing that. Now, I don't know what to do with DK Metcalf. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan's going to love DK Metcalf, but on one hand, super freaky. He's got to go back to the pro day and work. Maybe he just didn't work on those other drills and work on these and show he can change direction a little bit, because right now his spider graph looks like Pac-Man, where it's completely full and then there's a huge slice taken out of it, you know, like a pizza that's been a quarter eaten, where those other drills are basically zero and non-existent as far as percentiles go with, you know, versus the rest of the NFL at wide receiver. So just a wild combine for DK Metcalf, and he's no doubt a freak physically, and he puts the work in the weight room, but maybe he needs to work on some flexibility the rest of the offseason before the draft and show up at his pro day and run some better agility times and prove he can get out in and out of his breaks, because that's, I think, the last thing the teams need to see. But I think he's still going to go high, still top 15, top 10 player. I don't think he can be at the top of my second tier, though, even though I thought he might have been heading in that direction. Because of just, you know, when you start talking about Calvin Johnson and you start talking about Julio Jones, you get excited. But for reference, Julio Jones had a 6.6 or something, 6.7 three-cone drill, which would have been tops at this year's combine. So not only was he huge and fast in a straight line, he had some wiggle to him. And that's right now missing for DK Metcalf. And it's kind of scary and might be sort of a deal-breaker kind of thing for Kyle Shanahan, especially to take early in the first round, even if they trade down. I'm not sure Kyle Shanahan's going to be all about DK Metcalf. All right, so I got to move on to some other players and some other position groups here too. But to wrap that idea up, you can't overvalue these things, and you want it to confirm what you saw on tape. And for DK Metcalf, it more than confirmed it. It confirmed it, you know, exponentially, what I saw on tape, which was big, fast, extremely explosive in a straight line. Had some stiffness laterally, and he absolutely proved all of that at the combine. And then, of course, one of the biggest things at the combine is medicals for all of these guys in interviews. And unfortunately, for the most part, we don't ever get that information about these prospects. All right, let's move on to my guy, Hakeem Butler, who's definitely a winner of the weekend at wide receiver, showing up at 6'5 and 3/8, 227 pounds, 35-inch arm length. So just vines for arms, big 10¾-inch hands. So, you know, physically, he is built to be able to pull the ball down and go up and get the ball over guys. Should be a dynamic weapon in the red zone with a good quarterback, especially. And he did not have that at Iowa State consistently when he would get down the field under throwing him. But he could still go up and moss dudes and just go up and pull the ball away and run after the catch, just physically dominating guys at times. So he showed an ability that very few guys have in this draft to be that kind of a player and be a bully and block guys into the turf and go up and catch the ball over guys. And he can scoot a little bit too. Great time for him. He shows up at that size, 6'5 and 3/8, 227 pounds, runs a 4.48 40-yard dash, bench press 18 reps, which was pretty good for wide receivers, especially considering how long his arms are. 36-inch vertical, just to, you know, put an exclamation point on his ability to go up and get the ball. A good broad jump. Unfortunately, he did not run the agility drills at all, which might have been the biggest question with him. So that's a little bit unfortunate. But everything else we saw from Hakeem Butler is great. He does have a little case of the dropsies. So there is some boom or bust for sure with Hakeem Butler. But I think he planted his name firmly in the conversation to be a first-round draft pick. I know there was talk where, and he's been one of the more polarizing players, and I've seen him, people talking about him as a third-round player. I've seen people talk about him as a potential mid first round draft pick. I think he might be in play where the 49ers are drafted in the second round. I don't know if he's the type of guy Kyle Shanahan is going to love for his offense, but he's a prospect I like. And so look out for Hakeem Butler to potentially be a member of the shadow 49ers more so than the real 49ers, I think. But I think he was a winner. Just showing up that big with all of that length and running a 4.48 is a fantastic time for Hakeem Butler. But he does need to clean up some details in his game and be more consistent with his route running and be more consistent with his hands. Even despite that, those big old mitts that he has, he does have a case of the dropsies sometimes, and he drops a couple balls doing drills as well at the combine. So that's going to be key for him. He's going to catch the ball well when he does have personal workouts with teams. And it looks like he has not met with the 49ers, even though the 49ers were not shy about admitting that they're looking at wide receivers, and they were meeting with all of these guys. One guy who I think is absolutely in play for the 49ers, and maybe one of the most likely players to be drafted by the 49ers is a guy they had at the Senior Bowl and was playing that Z wide receiver position for Kyle Shanahan's offense at the Senior Bowl, and that is Deebo Samuel, who had an identical 4.48 40-yard dash at 5'11", 214 pounds. Just a really good workout all around. 39-inch vertical for Deebo Samuel. 7.03 3-cone, which is pretty good. One of the top five times. One of the best 20-yard shuttle times as well, 4.14. So just a solid all-around. You can see the explosion. He's got long speed. He's got short area quicks. He's built like a running back. He's really good after the catch. So a lot of things I think Kyle Shanahan is going to like. And he seems like a really good dude, too. Just in interviews, I don't know how his interviews went with teams, but his interviews with the media are really good. Just a humble guy. I got to believe he's going to be a favorite in that war room for the 49ers when it comes around to that. And he might even sneak into the first round as well. I think he is one of the top five wide receivers in this draft, and we'll see how this goes, because I think that's a position where a lot of teams' boards are going to look a lot different at wide receiver. But Deebo Samuel around pick 36 seems like right about the right spot for him, and I know the 49ers love him already. All right, got to take a quick break here. Maybe we'll go a little more rapid fire here in the last segment, try to cover more of these offensive players from the combine this weekend. All right, staying with wide receivers, rapid fire here. N'Keal Harry is an interesting one, a player I like. I think another guy who might be in that late one, early two-round range. 6'2 plus, 228 pounds, a lot of heavy wide receivers, big wide receivers. And the question with him was speed, and I think he answered some of that. At first, I wasn't so sure. I thought he went 4.59 and then 4.6. I might have been getting some other guys mixed up, but it turns out, and I was corrected on Twitter, that his official time is 4.53, which I think is definitely a win for N'Keal Harry. With some of the other assets he possesses, especially being that sort of alpha sort of wide receiver that can go up and pull the ball down in a crowd, he shows some ability to run after the catch. He's strong, 27 bench press reps, which was near the top for wide receivers, 38.5-inch verticals, so showing off some explosion, at least showing off some straight line speed. But like Hakeem Butler, did not run the agility drills, the 3-cone, the 20-yard shuttle, which, you know, maybe we should give DK a little credit for actually trying to run those, even though he ran them very terribly, because guys like Hakeem Butler and N'Keal Harry, some other big wide receivers, elected not to run those agility drills at all. One of the things that happens is someone works out great, and you're like, who's this guy? I got to go back and watch him. And that definitely happened for me with Miles Boykin out of Notre Dame. And I watched a little bit of him, and I thought he was a big guy, 6'4", 220. He almost looked like a tight end sometimes at Notre Dame, and definitely did not expect to see these kind of workout numbers, which across the board were outrageous. So 4.4, 240 for Miles Boykin in the 40-yard dash at 6'4", 220 pounds, which is fantastic. 43.5-inch vertical, which was the top vertical, I think, we haven't seen the DBs work out yet, but I think the 43.5 is the top vertical jump for the entire combine right now. Huge broad jump, 140 inches, a 6.77 3-cone drill, which is very quick. Anything sub 7 seconds is awesome for a 3-cone, and then 4.07 20-yard shuttle. So he showed straight line speed, he showed explosion in the jumps, and he showed lateral agility and stop-start in the 3-cone and the 20-yard shuttle. So definitely a player to go back, and I know scouts and GMs are definitely scurrying back unless some of these people knew what they were into with Miles Boykin, but I hadn't heard people talk about him like that at all. Definitely going to go back and watch some film on Miles Boykin, but I have a feeling there might be a little bit of a workout warrior-ness with him, because from what I remember, he did not move like that. And the thing that was so impressive about, you know, some of these 40 times for the big guys is, you know, especially DK Metcalf coming in at that size, running 4.33, is the only guys that ran faster than him. And a lot of the guys that didn't run faster than him were sub 200-pound guys, like Paris Campbell and Andy Isabella both went 4.31. Well, Paris Campbell, I guess, is just a hair over 200 pounds, but both guys that you knew were super fast, but both, you know, not the biggest guys in the world. Paris Campbell comes in at, I mean, he's right at 6 feet, 205 pounds, but just not even the best player at Ohio State. I think Terry McLaurin was a better receiver at Ohio State, but, you know, 40-inch vertical, he's definitely an athlete. And so some teams are definitely going to be interested in him and want to take a shot on that kind of athleticism that Paris Campbell has. But in the under 200-pound range, we have Andy Isabella, 5'9", 188 pounds. He had a really good workout in the agilities and, of course, running a 4.31. And you knew he was fast because he out-sprinted Denzel Ward, who went number four overall last year, and I think threw down a 4.32 or a 4.33 at the combine. He beat him in 100 meters when they ran track against each other. So Andy Isabella from Massachusetts definitely has speed. That's one thing we already knew about him. Mecole Hardman from Georgia, throwing down a 4.33. Terry McLaurin, who I just mentioned, he's super fast and looked really good for the North squad at the Senior Bowl, ran a 4.35. Emmanuel Hall from Missouri, 4.39. Darius Slayton from Auburn, 4.39. Those were all of the sub-4.4 guys, and I think those are really the ones of note for people that had a good day with the 40. I think some losers as far as wide receiver goes, Riley Ridley, because his thing was supposed to be such a good route runner and create separation. He ran, you know, pretty pedestrian, 4.58 at only 6'1", 199 pounds, so he was billed as sort of a bigger body wide receiver, red zone threat that could get open with routes, and he is still a pretty good route runner from what I've seen on tape, but the workout didn't really match. You know, he's smaller than advertised at 6'1", 199, 4.58 in the 40, 13 bench press reps, only a 30.5-inch vertical, 7.22 cone, which is not really very good. A lot of defensive linemen and pass rushers and stuff had better three-cone drills than that, and a 4.28 20-yard shuttle, which is also not great for that size. So Riley Ridley, we were talking about him as maybe an option to pick 36 overall for the 49ers. I think he's someone that we're looking at now more like a third and maybe even a fourth-round player just because teams aren't going to bet on that sort of, you know, athleticism. One guy who's been largely billed as a first-round player, and I knew he was going to be slow, and I've sort of compared him to Laquon Treadwell from the Minnesota Vikings, who's been, you know, mostly a bust for them after going late in the first round. And Kelvin Harmon, even though he's sort of a beast in college and he can get open and he will out-muscle dudes, and you know, I like what I see from him on tape, but I knew he was going to be slow, and he ran a 4.6, 32.5-inch vertical, 7.153 cone, 7.32 a shuttle. You know, the shuttle especially is not very good at all. And the 40 time, 4.6. So I still like Kelvin Harmon, but I think he can kiss the first round goodbye just because just the lack of, you know, and everyone's going to compare him to Anquan Boldin, which is fair. And he might be Anquan Boldin, but Anquan Boldin didn't go in the first round either. One guy that was a big loser is Hollywood Brown. Marquise Brown was supposed to blaze, but he didn't work out. He's got an injury, and he weighed in at only 166 pounds. So it's like, dude, you know, he's got the DeSean Jackson comparisons, but he's got to show up. And I mean, 166 pounds, you better fly. So I don't know what to think about Hollywood Brown, and I don't know if the NFL is going to draft a 166-pound wide receiver in the first round at least, and maybe not in the top 50. Not a great workout for Fresno State wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. Just very pedestrian, 6'1", 201, ran a 4.6, 30-inch vertical, a bad shuttle and three-cone time. So change of direction, long speed, none of that was very good. So you're looking at a late-round draft pick, even though I like the natural hands and shows some ability to run routes, but just the overall physical profile isn't going to excite teams when it comes to Keyshawn Johnson. Maybe worst of all was Little Jordan Humphrey from Texas. Great name, terrible workout. Ran just an awful 4.75 40-yard dash, and at 6'4", 210, I thought he was going to be a lot better than that, and he looked pretty fast on tape. And so some of these guys, you can tell, just didn't take it seriously maybe and didn't put a lot of work in. More on that tomorrow with a very important edge rusher who I thought was going to be one of the stud edge rushers in the draft that had maybe the worst combine of anybody. We'll get into that tomorrow. Real quick, running backs, and I don't even want to spend a lot of time on the running backs because it's not a very good class, and I don't think the 49ers are going to sniff a running back until day three at the most, but maybe some of these guys are going to be there. And there's only a handful of guys that even ran better than 4.5 flat in this class. Justice Hill was 4.4 flat, and he had the best speed on display of the running backs there. Justice Hill out of Oklahoma State, 40-inch vertical, 4.4 flat. He's 5'10", 198, not a player I've watched a lot of, so I'm going to go back and see if he plays to that kind of speed on tape. My favorite guy, I think, is Daryl Henderson. Unofficially, he ran 4.37 or something like that, but his official time here is listed as 4.49 and 22 bench press reps at 5'8", 208 pounds, so he's a ball of energy and a ball of burst and a player I really like for Kyle Shanahan's outside zone scheme and a little bit, maybe a little bit more powerful, a little bit more burst and maybe not quite the top speed of Matt Breida, but I think a similar mold of player. And I don't know if he's going to get out of the second day. He'd probably be a third round pick maybe, but Daryl Henderson out of Memphis is a guy I do like for the 49ers, but you know, I'm again, fourth round, maybe we can start talking about running backs, and maybe even more like the sixth round, where a guy like Tony Pollard could be there and his running mate there at Memphis. He ran a 4.52, catches the ball really well out of the backfield, 6 feet, 210 pounds, 35-inch vertical, and a good return man as well. So someone to look out for late in the draft. Damian Harris is an interesting one out of Alabama because he's got, you know, a lot of ability, 4.57, doesn't blaze or anything, but 37-inch vertical, so he's got some explosion. 5'10", 216 pounds, smart guy. I think he'll do well in interviews, and teams will like him. And he was the starter over Josh Jacobs. You know, he was a starter at Alabama. If you're a starting running back at Alabama, you have a lot of physical gifts, but he's had a lot of injuries as well. So maybe a late round steal of a type of a player if you're looking for more of a bigger bodied running back and a guy that can do a lot for your offense. James Williams out of Washington State, 4.58 40 time, not great, but he had a nice vertical, 36 and a half inches, and some good agilities, or at least a good three cone, but good receiver out of the backfield. Not a super huge guy, kind of a bad 20 yard shuttle actually for a running back with 4.25, but 5'9", more of a receiving type of back. Pretty much a bad day for Devin Singletary out of Florida Atlantic. Even though he's a jitterbug and has some dynamic change of directions side to side, he didn't time that well at all. He timed terribly. Bad three cone and bad short shuttle for someone who's so shifty was really sort of surprising. And he only ran a 4.66 at 5.7203. So, you know, that's not good. That's not a good combination of things there for Devin Singletary. David Montgomery is another player I like. He's getting compared to, and I can see it, he's getting compared to Kareem Hunt as a player. 5'10", 222 pounds, has good feet, but doesn't wow you physically. Really bad vertical jump, 28 and a half inches, a pretty pedestrian time of the 4.63 40-yard dash, too. So just a bad running back class. Elijah Holyfield from Georgia ran a 4.78, which was almost bested by some offensive linemen and was bested by two kickers, including Stanford punter who ran a, what was it, 4.72. Stanford punter Jake Bailey ran a 4.72, beating out Elijah Holyfield. Jack Fox, the kicker from Rice, also ran faster than Elijah Holyfield. So that's a terrible time. Of course, Bryce Love, who probably would have blazed, didn't work out because he's got that ACL injury. He's probably going to lose most of, if not all, his rookie year. And Josh Jacobs, who's universally thought of as the best running back in the class, also did not run. Speaking of good times, those offensive linemen that came close to that was Eric McCoy, center from Texas A&M, ran a 4.89, definitely moves around well. He might even be a first-round type of a center, or maybe, you know, second-rounder at the worst. Great workout for Boston College guard Chris Lindstrom, who I've talked about here on the show from the Senior Bowl, who had a really good week at the Senior Bowl, probably solidified his status as a first-round player, as did Garrett Bradbury, who I've profiled on the show, who ran a 4.92 out of NC State as a center and also put up the second-most reps at the bench press with 34. And offensive tackle Andre Dillard did really well for himself in workouts. And, you know, we already knew he was an athletic guy, but he was the left tackle for Kyle Shanahan's South squad at the Senior Bowl. He ran a 4.96, so a sub-5.0 for a 6'5", 315-pounder is pretty good. So a name to look out for if he slips out of the first round, but he might have solidified himself as a first-round tackle because the league is so starved for offensive linemen as it is. Titus Howard's a big, strong, small-school offensive tackle. Did nice in the 40-yard dash. 5.05 is a great time for the Alabama State product in Titus Howard. 6'5", 322 pounds, but the agilities are pretty bad. Doesn't move great, so I don't know if he's a nice fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense, even though a lot of people like him as a small-school offensive tackle. And my guy Dalton Reisner, who might be a fit for the 49ers in the second round, talked about him a lot on the show. 6'5", 312, nice 34-inch arm length, so he meets the minimums if you're looking for an offensive tackle. 5'3", 40-yard dash, which isn't blazing or anything, but that's fine. 23 reps on the bench press. You like to see a little more, especially for someone who likes to play a little physical and play a little nasty. But he had some nice agilities for an offensive lineman to run 7.69 in the three cone and 4.52 20-yard shuttle. Top five or so in the position group. So he showed some, you know, that lateral ability that I've seen for him to be able to get out and run and block guys on the second level, which is why I think he might be a fit for the 49ers in that outside zone scheme. And I guess I got to highlight at least one tight end real quick. So the guy who I think stole the show for tight ends, Noah Fant, 6'4", 249 pounds out of Iowa. He bested his fellow alum 4'5 flat, beating George Kittle's 4'5'2 for tight ends there. 20 bench press reps, 39.5 inch vertical. He had great agility, 6.813 cone, which is awesome. So all in all, he showed off his athletic ability, and you can see it on tape. He's more of a tight end that's going to split out and be a move tight end in the NFL, but Noah Fant, I think, helped himself out in Indianapolis. All right, I'm out of time here. That's going to do it for this episode of the show. Going to be breaking down defense tomorrow, especially those pass rushers, and see if there were some cluster busters in the mix with the combine workouts that helped us figure out who these guys were. One guy especially fell on his face. But there were some really good workouts and some guys who solidified their stock as top 10 edge rushers in the draft. All that tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.